In this week's international media, we'll talk about Myanmar. The country, also sometimes referred to as Burma, has been undergoing a political transition since 2011. At the end of this year, Myanmar will host its first democratic elections since the 1960s. The situation on the ground for journalists has improved, though it's still one of the most censored places in the world. According to Amnesty International, the transition government has clamped down on press freedom in the country over the past year. 10 journalists are currently sitting behind bars. Earlier this week, I spoke with Phil Robertson, the Deputy Director of Human Rights Watch Asia Division. He explains what it's like for journalists currently working in Myanmar.
Well, being a journalist right now in Myanmar is being uncertain about exactly where you stand in terms of where the lines are about what can be reported and what might get you in trouble with the government. The rules are still quite unclear, and there is a host of laws that the government is still prepared to use, including defamation, but also other more draconian laws to go after journalists who write things that the government doesn't like. What we saw was a significant expansion of freedom of expression when the Burma reform process started in 2011, but there's been a serious retrenchment since 2014.
And Myanmar is still one of the most heavily censored countries in the world as well.
You know, they did away with the pre-publication censorship, which is, of course, was the major thing that most people had focused on during the period of the military governments. But, you know, the actual rules for the way the Ministry of Information oversees the journalists and the newspapers and magazines hasn't changed in the sense that they can still hold you culpable for writing things on a wide variety of topics that the government doesn't like and come after you. And so the journalists that we've spoken to said, you know, we have to constantly assess where the sensitive areas are, where the red lines are. And I think in some cases this has resulted in journalists practicing self-censorship because they know a topic is too sensitive that if they write about it, they will face troubles with the government, which could include not only harassment and surveillance, but also possible criminal charges.
You were saying that in the past few years the situation improved, but that it went down again. What happened exactly?
Well, it's unclear. I think that many people overestimated the size of the reform opening in Myanmar. What we have assessed is that the military never really left real power. They have promoted a sort of quasi-civilian government, but at the core, there's still a military control. There's still a military backbone that is at the heart of the government. And so when you start looking at issues, for instance, about reporting about ethnic minorities and wartime situations, reporting about the military, reporting about forced labor, these are the sort of sensitive topics that journalists will face difficulties for if they take on.
Myanmar is going to vote at the end of this year. What kind of impact have the upcoming elections on the climate, on the atmosphere in Myanmar right now?
There's a great deal of concern that if people start voting on sensitive topics connected to the elections, such as vote buying or other sorts of electoral malfeasance, that the government may come down on them. This is one of the sensitive topics that we haven't really seen how the government's going to react to, but the journalists are already flagging this as an area of concern that they feel they're going to have difficulty reporting on.
Rights group Article 19 published a report last week titled Censored Gender. The authors of the report write that women in Myanmar face harsher censorship and backlash than men. David Diaz Hogeich, the director of programs at Article 19, details the report.
Article 19 has found out that to be a journalist in Myanmar and being a woman, you will be automatically placed as a second category of professional. And this is one of the things that we have been trying to outline in this report, not only in the context of the media, but also where the place of women in the Myanmar society is actually allocated. And we have coming up with some recommendations on how to move forward.
Myanmar is already a pretty heavily censored country, but it seems that women are even more censored than men in Myanmar.
That's correct. I think through the political transition, there has been noticeable improvements, particularly on the prior censorship that have been removed. But when you look closer, women have and face more barriers, both because they are women and even more if they speak out on gender-related issues. Because voicing those are highly sensitive, and you would be provoking a backlash not only from the government but from the conservative parts of society, whether those are coming from political parties or religious groups, that will be very clear. Part of the things that Article 19 has seen as the woman bodies are being used in the political debate, and they are not necessarily seeking their opinion. It's more protecting them without actually asking them whether they want to be protected or not. And nobody's talking about empowerment of women.
Another issue seems that the media there, and especially broadcasters, are the one stereotyping women in Myanmar.
We have seen, that the way a woman is portrayed in television, but also in other media outlets, radio as well, it's very, very towards the traditional roles, and the positive roles of women are being seen only as a conservative traditional roles. And the women that actually try to fight for their rights are being portrayed as troublemakers, not in conformity with the social rules within society. And this is why we are calling for making sure that television programmers do talk with women.
Why do you think there's so many stereotypes and so many misconceptions about women in Myanmar?
It's important to understand the context of a country that has been in isolation under a very authoritarian rule led by the military. So that places an onus on a focus where society has been receiving a very, very traditional, hierarchical and patriarchal structure of the society. And through the political transition, it's giving up and freeing up voices for women to speak out. And that's where we are seeing this backlash against those women who want to speak out.
Despite the country's poor record when it comes to press freedom, an online article written by Myanmar journalist San Wan Hang said it could end tomorrow. In fact, some organizations are trying to make a difference. Just a year ago, the first independent journalism school, the Myanmar Journalism Institute, opened. The local initiative was supported by several organizations, including the Photo Media Institute, UNESCO, and the Danish group International Media Support. Esben Arboy is the International Media Support Program Manager for Myanmar. He explains what his organization wanted to achieve with the school.
Well, we've been working in Myanmar since 2012, and already when we started up with operations inside the country, there was a great demand from journalists for a proper education after so many years of not actually having a place to go for skill training and further education. Along with other international partners, we decided to support a national initiative to create an independent institution. And the purpose for that, of course, is to educate journalists and make sure that they live up to some international standards and norms. That was the reason behind supporting that initiative.
What kind of challenges does that school face?
I mean, one of the big challenges, of course, is to make training available to as many people as possible. And it's still a very small intake that the school is seeing, and there's a need to expand activities to cover not only Yangon and Mandalay, but the rest of the country. I would say that one of the things that we see as crucial next step for the school and other similar initiatives is to reach a wider audience and to make sure that the education for journalism is available to a larger group of people.
It opened last year, if I'm not mistaken. So what could you tell us about the school and how it went?
Well, first of all, there's now an independent institution or an independent board running the school. There's a structure now that seems to be viable and working, and they have already now there's a class that is graduating after taking a part-time diploma, and next year, for the coming year, there will be a full-time diploma offered also to professional journalists in Myanmar. A lot of good things have happened over this past year.
And I'm guessing the idea behind the school is that if you're training journalists, that will help improving the press freedom situation in Myanmar as well.
Yes, certainly. It's one component, and it's an important component, but press freedom can only be advanced with this enabling environment, that there are other proper institutions in place, and that there's also a government that is willing to allow for press freedom. Journalism education doesn't do it by itself, but it's an important element towards that goal.
This brings us to the end of this week's International Media. For RFI, I'm Fabien-Génique Cherbonnel.